Since January 12th, we've been spending time here in worship in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. Today is the eighth and concluding time of turning to Philippians 4, or Philippians. For you who have been here, I hope that it's been encouraging and hopeful and challenging, because that is what the letters of Paul are about. Paul is encouraging, he points to hope, and he also challenges, he pushes us to really live into this life that we're called into through Christ. Through these 8 weeks that we've been spending in Philippians, the framework Sunday by Sunday has been Philippians 4, 8, and 9, where Paul encourages his readers, and therefore us, to think about a number of things and to put them into practice. And he names eight things: whatever is noble, right, true, whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, he writes, think about these things and put them into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot behind each one of these. And today we come to the last one, whatever is praiseworthy. The Greek word for this is epinos. Do you have that, Rick? Epinos. And I'm not going to go too heavy on the Greek with you today, but it's a word that in of itself is simply means praise or approval. But what that word is used for is more about an attitude behind an action. It's more about the heart behind the words. It's the reason behind the gesture. Things that are praiseworthy, things that are epinos, as Paul put it, it drills down behind the what of things, behind the what of what we're doing here today. And it goes to the core of why. Why we're here today. Not just what we're doing, but why we're here. It points to the heart of things. So whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is praiseworthy to our God, means whatever it is within us that gives genuine, authentic praise to God. So what are those things? What are those things in us that are praiseworthy? Well, there are a lot of them. More than I can detail in one sermon, but here are two of them. And they are connected to everything else. Joy and thanks. Joy. Growing in joy, rejoicing in life as God gives it to us, come what may, having a joyful heart at the core of who we are, not because we will it or because everything around us is going so beautifully, but because we've received joy as a gift from God through Jesus Christ, and we're using it in our lives. We're making use of this gift he gives us, his joy splashing out from us. Joy. And thanks. Having a thankful heart, being thankful, having a spirit that leads with thanksgiving rather than complaining. It's a perspective of life that gets captured by the desire to give thanks for the big things and the little things all together. Things around us for which we are thankful. Thankfulness that comes out in our faces. It's in our attitudes. It's in our words. It's in the way that we touch things and greet people, how we are with each other. Just like joy, thankfulness comes as a gift from God that we can put into practice. It's His Spirit at work in us, growing thankful hearts. Joy and thanks, genuinely lived into, these are praiseworthy. Before I read the part of Philippians that we're going to dig into a bit today, let me point you to two psalms to hold on to in the background. Psalm 100 and Psalm 136. The psalms are the ancient prayer book of the Hebrew people, the Jews, including Jesus and Paul. And densely woven into so many psalms is joy and thanksgiving. Psalm 100 begins like this. Shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Come before Him, live before Him with joy in your singing, in your worship, in your day-to-day life. And then Psalm 136, it begins like this. It's very repetitious, but the point is made. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And then it goes on, this psalm, recounting the story of God's intervention in human life. And then it ends much the way that it began. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His love endures forever. Living with joy, rejoicing. And living with thanks, giving thanks. These are at the core of a praiseworthy life. The attitude behind the actions, the heart behind the words. So let's turn to Philippians 4:4-13. A very familiar text for a lot of us. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Then Paul goes on, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at the last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me His strength." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For a couple of years, I was part of a small group of pastors who were planning events for all the Covenant pastors in the Twin City metro area. We planned worship events and continuing ed and other gatherings to keep us connected to each other and growing together. There were four of us on this team, and we would meet every 4 to 6 weeks for lunch, talking through things and planning events. And at first, we didn't all know each other very well. It's like I knew two of them, but not one very well, and she knew one of us, but not the other two very well, and that type of combination. It didn't take more than one meeting before we moved from handshakes to hugging each other when we got together. And it was by the second meeting that our prayer time moved from offering a brief prayer for the meal to spending a longer time in prayer, praying through particular needs with each other. And I think it was after the third time I got together with this group that I came home and Sid said something like this: "I love when you go to meet with that group because you come home just full of joy." And I realized that I did. So I kind of casually began calling them my joy group. Every time I go to meet with these people, I would come back just filled up with good stuff. So I shared this with them, and they agreed. So we kind of casually called it our joy group. Now, just to be clear, it wasn't all jokes and laughter. It wasn't just lightheartedness when we were together. There were heartaches shared. There were headaches about life and ministry that we talked through and prayed with each other about. There was real stuff in life that would come out on the table to be handled by the others. But without fail, there was always this tone, this undercurrent of joy, of gratitude. Do you have people in your life like this? A joy group? Or even just one person who, when you are with her, or when you spend time with him, you find yourself more filled up than drained. More thankful for things when you stand up than when you sat down together. You have anyone in your life like this? We need people in our lives like this. We need people who carry these gifts of God and put them to use in life, the gifts of joy and the gifts of thanksgiving. Not just joke tellers or backslappers. That can run thin after a while. And not just people who pat us on the back and tell us that everything's going to be okay when really things are a whole lot more complex than that. Do you have people in your life like this? People who, when you're with them, you sense that you're being moved forward in life as a follower of Christ. That you've been with somebody who's traveling deeply with God and they share that with you. There are plenty of people who don't do this. But you have people who do do this. People who inspire you to go deeper as a follower of Jesus because in their daily practice of living, they are drawing from really deep roots. Roots anchored in God's Word and His presence in prayer. And they carry with them that undercurrent of joy and gratitude, a praiseworthy life. We need people like this in our lives. And we need to be this for other people. Because this is a life that God has given to us to live. All by the grace we receive through Jesus Christ. It's really easy not to live this way. To get tangled up in the negatives and in the things to complain about. But it's really enlivening to live this way. To live thankfully. To live with this gift of joy bubbling up in us. Not in a giddy sort of way, but in a clarifying way. So coming back to what Paul wrote in Philippians 4:4, listen to it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Kairate is the Greek word for this. Kairate. And the word for joy is kara. You can see that in there. And the word for grace is charis. Kairate, kara, charis. Rejoice, joy, grace. It is also beautifully and intricately woven together. The whole story of God in Christ, His grace coming to us, His presence coming to us at times and in ways that we didn't expect, in ways we don't deserve, giving us gifts for living that we could never create or even imagine on our own. And then filling our lives, changing our hearts, reorienting our minds with joy. With thanksgiving, with charis, with kairate, kara, charis. A life of rejoicing the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Here's how one author describes joy. He writes that joy is not a spurt of good feelings that comes when the weather and the stock market are both right on the same day. Instead, joy is what comes to us when we are walking in the way of faith and obedience. It's a product of God's abundance. It's the overflow of His vitality into our lives. When people live like this, with joy, it's noticeable, isn't it? It's not grandstanding. It's not attention-seeking. It's not fake smiles or a put-on cheeriness. Instead, it's a byproduct from drawing out of that deep pool of truth that we find in God through Jesus Christ. Which leads to the other thing I mentioned, thanksgiving. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The peace of God will be with you." Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. From the framework of joy, with this gift of God received in our lives, shaping our hearts, shaping our attitudes, shaping our perspectives from the inside out, Paul then urges us to bring everything to bring everything in prayer, not worrying obsessively about it, not getting spun into high anxiety, which we can all so easily do with things, but bring it all to Him in prayer with thanksgiving, which can be a really hard thing to do at times, can't it? It can seem completely counterintuitive. When the troubles pile high, when tension at home is thick and bubbling, when we don't know how we're going to pay the mortgage, come with thanksgiving in prayer? Yes. Not thanking God for the troubles themselves, like, thank you, God, that I have cancer. Or thank you, God, that the finances have completely run out. But instead this. Thank you, God, for your love for me. Thank you, God, that you can redeem this even if I never see how you do it. Thank you, God, that you already know what's going on and you already know what's needed. Thank you, God, that nothing can separate us from your love. Not life, not death, not anything. Thank you, God, that even if things get worse, that even if nothing goes as I hope, that even if I die or this person I'm praying for dies, thank you that by your grace you still provide, you still hold us, and you are still with us regardless forever. That's the thanksgiving Paul's writing about. The thanksgiving that he urges us to have as the framework as we bring everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. So one more part of this that I want to touch on briefly before we share this meal called communion. One more word. The Greek word for communion, this meal that we share as we remember Jesus' Last Supper and going to the cross, is Eucharist. Eucharist. It means thanksgiving, giving thanks. You can hear kara in there. Eucharist, kara, joy. You can hear charis in there, the word for grace. Eucharist. You can hear those psalms in there that I mentioned earlier, like Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with thanksgiving, with joyful songs. In Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. It's the very same thread that we'll pick up at the end of the communion service in this way. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Don't forget them. Joy and thanksgiving. And all the ways that these overlap and generate more joy and more thanksgiving, this is what He opens up to us. We don't generate it on our own. He gives it to as a gift to us. He plants this in us and grows this in us as we turn our hearts and minds away from just our own stuff and yield ourselves to Him and to His will, to His grace, in love, in obedience, in faithfulness, and in genuine desire to live praiseworthy lives before our God. And then the joy and thanksgiving, it grows in us and begins splashing out from us onto others. So may we live this way. May we be a people who are truly filled with joy and filled with thanks because we have received this as a gift from Him. Let's pray together. God, we do thank You for all. We thank You that You are present and that You redeem, that You move in ways beyond our understanding. So for all that has been and all that is and all that is yet to come, we give You all the honor, all the thanks, and all the praise. And now, Lord, prepare us for this time as we share this meal, as we serve one another. May we not rush, But may we be fully attentive to how you are moving, knowing that this cup and this bread does not come unaccompanied, but it comes with your presence. We commit one another and we commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.